All Eyes on Fishing with Mitch Peterson, Josh Sheldon, and Brad Qualley, leading you to the next level.
Hey everybody, welcome back to All Eyes on Fishing. Tonight we're going to talk jigs. Now we've done some podcasts on jigs, but we've had some requests this time of year with the live bait rig, live bait bite out there to really dive into jigs. We said, okay, let's talk jigs. We were just talking about jigs and didn't even plan on talking about jigs, but now we are.
Yeah, well, it's that time of year. And I actually have a buddy of mine who recently has become a new boat owner and gave me a chunk of change to outfit his boat for him. And of course, I got him some jig heads and jigs and things like that.
Did you do two for him, one for you?
Close. That was the crank. I fed my crankbait obsession. He was like, tell me what I need to do. And so I was explaining to him, you know, just some basic jigging techniques. And I thought, you know, this would be a pretty good one for us to talk about. So I think.
Hey, and another thing too, before we get to roll, and you guys will probably notice we're not in Walleye One tonight. We're doing this virtual because Josh has ended up going for a tournament this weekend. So instead of not getting some out, we just said, let's do a virtual so we get some out.
So, well, Mitch just back from the great Midwest, went back to Minnesota, eh?
Yep, I stopped in Sheldon, Iowa. Again. Yeah, I always place, do. Man. Yeah, place. Hit yeah. the bathroom.
Yeah.
Great. Hey, that's the only thing to do.
Skeeters back yeah. there. Did you dodge the protesters? Did you dodge the protesters and skeeters, or did you?
No. We my hometown isn't even close to any of that.
No, really?
Nothing but beautiful cornfields and birds chirping, and it was beautiful.
Nobody throwing rocks at you?
Nope.
All right, perfect. No. Well, did you do any fishing?
No time for fishing.
It's all family stuff.
If I would have, been throwing some jigs.
Would you? So is that what's going on in Minnesota?
No, I mean, you know, there's some spots that we fish from shore, like Talkit Lake Dam and some areas where you just go from shore and that's usually what we do is throw twister tails, whatever. So if I would have gone fishing, that's what I would have done.
Well, the good thing about jigs this time of year too is it's versatile for both boat and from shore. You know what I mean? Jigs you can cast from anywhere. And it's nice casting from a boat up to shore and working down a ledge from, let's say, shallow to deeper. But there's no reason that people can't cast jigs from shore this time of year up to structure.
Give me your three. Give me your three, each of you. Give me your three favorite jig combinations and colors.
Which one? Mirror Mitch.
Go, Brad.
So I'm going to use quarter ounce jig with a white Berkeley gulp. That's going to be my first one.
Twister tail?
Yes. Berkeley gulp twister tail. That's number one. And then I will I'm going to do quarter eighth, and then a quarter ounce jig with probably a ripple shed or some sort of paddle tail, maybe a softer paddle tail. That's going to be number two. And then just straight 1/8 ounce jig with tip of a crawler. Those are going to be my three.
What's your other two colors? You only give me one.
The other two don't have colors. They're live bait.
No, it was swim bait was the other one. It was like a ripple shed. You know what? I'm always a fan of anything white chartreuse, but I'll be honest. I change them up so much until I find out kind of what's going on. I think if I had to say favorites, it must be the chartreuse on one and white on the other. And then of course, crawler color, but, because, and I always start there, right? I mean, unless I'm fishing, like if I went out with you and you were casting, let's say the blue and silver ripple shads, and you knew that was working, I might start with that. But those are where I start and just kind of move from there.
Mitchell?
I'm going chartreuse or yellow jig, lead head, eighth quarter with crawler. That's number one. I've caught way more fish on that combo than anything. Mostly vertical jigging, but you can cast that too and drag it back. Mm-hmm. Then I love the gulp twister tails too. Only I like the yellow. So that's number two. And then I'm going straight jig with a leech.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Leech time.
Yeah.
So those are my three.
Yeah. I'm going to go, my first choice is going to be a quarter ounce, probably a Kalins with the 3.5 or 4 inch. I think it's the 4 inch is the one I like better. The Kalins with a 4 inch and probably in that chartreuse with the black fleck. And then my second favorite is probably going to be the Ripple Shad with a bullet head and quarter ounce. And I'm going to go the 4 inch or the 3.5 with the smaller bullet head. And I'm going to do the white and black or the smelt or shad color, whatever color they call that. And then I'm going to go for my last one. I'm going to do probably another twister tail, and it could be gulp or whichever brand, but I like that the avocado green or watermelon with the
black. Yeah, you've been fishing that since you were a kid, that avocado green Bass Pro Special.
Yep. And then I put I'm with you, Mitch. I either do a half tip that one with a crawler or a leech, depending on which is available at that time. And man, I just deadly.
So you actually said, like, we said three, but each one you qualified with like three different things. You actually did like nine.
I did three a piece. I just fit.
You just said, okay. So anyway, I want to ask you guys this. So we both are talking lead head jigs, whether they're painted or not. You were talking about the bullet head. We've talked about Walker jigs that we use for dragging in the sand and stuff. But tell me a little bit difference. Mitch started off with why you use a round head. A jig or just a regular jig head, and is it one of the stand-up ones? Are you talking, and what that jig looks like, wide gap, finesse kick, long shake? Well, tell me what you were going to put together if you had to bring only a couple out for the day.
I'm pretty standard with just a round lead head jig. I do like the wider the gap the better, because I want that gap to increase the hook set percentage. But typically if I'm fishing a crawler or a leech, just some meat on there, I like a short shank, wide gap. But then when we throw the plastics on, that's when the longer shank, really comes into play to get the hook a little farther back, I think, on the bait.
Yeah. Brad, how about you, Josh?
Yeah. He said he liked a short shank. You know,
he's the juvenile. He can't say anything. Just an idiot.
I was talking about hooks. I don't know what you were thinking about.
You can't drive by a mailbox without saying, "Geez, that's a nice mailbox." And he's like, "That's a nice mailbox." It's like, "Oh my god!" Let's keep it fishing.
It's so all right, short there.
So, what about you, bud?
I've always been a big fan of unpainted. But if I'm going to go paint, it's going to be, probably two or three colors. I think chartreuse, orange, and black are the three big colors for me. But unpainted is usually my go-to, because, being enough rocks, they all come up unpainted at some point anyway. So,
okay. But tell me about you said that you were using a cone weight or bullet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why?
Well, the bullet, I think.
Using is it the slip bullet? Or are you talking a slip weight in front of the bullet?
No, I'm talking about a bullet head. It's and with swim baits, I think I think you get a little more wobble out of the swim bait, a little more side to side or roll, I guess it would be a better description. And when you're fishing weeds or any sort of cover, which is usually what I'm doing with the swim bait, I just think it pulls through easier. I think it casts better. I think it goes. Swims better. I just think the bullet.
So do you use that predominantly then? If since it's a better weight system, is that what you use all the time then? If you think it pulls better through all those conditions
on swim baits, if I'm gonna, I'll go a normal round head if I'm gonna go a twister tail, but anything swim bait, I'll put on a bullet head.
I'm not a big, I've used them, right? But I think the problem with them when you're trying to finesse fish them is that they nose dig into it, and you, unless you're trying to stir up a little bit of the bottom, that the eyelets end up getting, since it just sends a nose dig into the ground more. And to me, I just don't think it's as smooth as a transition. I'll use them, but I that's the problem that I see with them that I don't like anyway. But
well, and I like them because most of them usually come with that longer shank and a little bit wider gap and a little bit stouter hook, like Mitch is talking.
I was gonna say that's the reason I thought you would say is because you like that. It's not like a finesse or not finesse. It's not like a fine wire hook. There are always those beefier ones. They're made for more of that casting, those bigger swim baits, paddle baits, whatever you're going to be casting. It's more bass fishing made than walleye fishing those big baits that get, you know, for their big mouth to take.
Yeah.
So yep. I was surprised to hear that you said that you thought it pulled better. I was thinking that you'd like the stouter because you can fish a little bit bigger. You can fish that 4-inch Kalins, no problem with those if right. you were going to. And you can fish the like those 5-inch ripple shad, no problem. Oh, I no know problem. That me and Mitch, that's when I would step up to it, is when you're going to throw like a 4.5, 5-inch or bigger type of ripple shad. The problem is, and unless you're fishing a jig kind of like what you're talking about, Josh, is that the shank doesn't go back far enough, right? When you're fishing the bigger, when you're fishing the bigger paddle baits or bigger swim baits, that's why it would be good to use it. That's why I'm saying I would agree with you for those, but just because you end up being in that top 20% of the jig or top or of the swim bait, like top 20-30%, where you want to try to get it back in that that top 40%. You want to get it 40-50% back on your jig, so when you're casting it, they only have to take in half the bait before they're meeting hook. You know what I mean? You don't want them to have to take in 70 or 80% of the bait before it gets hooked, right? Because you're going to miss a lot of short strikes.
So, well, that's why I like those. I think those bullet heads are more designed for those swim baits, and I think they go much further.
Well, definitely the big ones. Not a 3-inch swim bait. You have no problem running just like a Northland's long.
Yeah. No, I do some sort of just normal. I'll do a smaller jig head, but I even like those smaller. Like I'm 3.5-inch, like we were using at our last tournament. 3.5-inch with that smaller bullet head. And I don't even know. I think it may even be a Bass Pro bullet head, but that worked out pretty well. And it was only 1/8 ounce, but you know, it was, I could do it as a slower retrieve and it didn't sink down into those weeds quite as quick. Mm-hmm. And you know, it produced a few fish. So I liked that quite a bit. But you know, I'm a big, you know, that's a casting situation. If I'm going to be dragging or, bouncing jigs off the bottom, I just go with that round head. That round head seems to fit that style of retrieve much better.
I know that me and Mitch have been out several times casting jigs on some sort of smaller gravel to almost sand bottoms, right? Mm-hmm. You're fishing a transition or a big flat. And Mitch can probably talk a little bit about this, but we'll dragging jigs like you're just talking about. I think it might be a little tougher dragging one of those bullet jigs because like what I was talking about, but a round head's perfect. But then they have the slide jigs or, you know, the flat jigs. Tell them about that, Mitch, what we use them for.
Well, we call them the sleddies, and they're flat, and they're kind of designed to drag on the bottom pretty easy, you know, more than I think the action they create when you rip it and pop it. But you get that too, and they're great. So we love to use those if we've got a dead stick out. So whether we're casting or drifting and dragging jigs, and we will put those dead sticks out, and every time those are the jigs that we have on there, and they're cool. They're like a little sled almost. We love them.
Yeah, they do work real good for if you have a little bit cleaner of a bottom to where it can just slide around down there and doesn't get hung up. So,
you know what I thought was interesting, and this is on the topic of jig head, but or jigs in general. But what I thought was interesting is when we all fish together a couple times, you know, even though we do this podcast and we put out the information and we all agree on a lot of stuff, we do a lot of things very differently. A lot
we do.
And I guess maybe we haven't fished a lot, maybe in the last couple of years, all three of us. It's, you know, been one or the other, but it was interesting to me how how much different we do fish, how much different our equipment is, how much different the types of jigs or how we rig them or what we choose to rig. And I think that's kind of an important piece when you're talking about running jigs or cranks or anything. The jigs in particular is, you know, there's a lot of different ways to do it. Not one way is right or wrong. It's just different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it goes into your confidence. You know, hey, yeah, the way I do it is the way I'm going to do it, right?
Right.
You know, because that's the thing. Real quick, going back to color, Josh, that you turned me on to unpainted jig heads.
Right.
I learned that from you.
It's
the only thing I've learned from you in about 20 years. But I did learn that from you. And yeah, and I was surprised. I would never have thought of that. And sure enough, I like it. I go to that quite often.
Yeah, I almost prefer it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially on some of our lakes here, I think, you know, as we go to check other places, sometimes color is a little bit more of a, but that plain jig head is, I mean, they're coming up to, you know, they see it hopping, they smell the bait, you know, the whatever paint is there, I don't think really plays a huge indicator.
Well, none of us are huge color people anyway. I mean, we end up talking about color. It's definitely something you consider, right? We're not going to go out there and just throw clear, right? You think about it. But what you first do is you think about the presentation that you're going to go, what you're going to do for the day. You're like, hey, let's go cast shorelines. Okay, well, what's that mean? Are we going to be casting jigs or crankbaits? Right. Well, we're going to go down the cranks. So you've already put the color now down three steps of where you're going. So then you go there and you're like, okay, hey, I'm going to cast a swim bait and you're going to cast a grub tail or whatever, you know what I mean? A twister tail. And now, so you're having two completely different disruptions in the water as far as vibration. So now, now you start focusing on color.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things that do all of us, and we've talked about this off air, until the cows come home, about color. And it's definitely an important factor, but it's one of those things that we all kind of put like fourth or fifth down. You figure out where you're going, what your presentation is going to be. It's important. But so when we're talking this lead versus, and Josh just said, the color's not that important. It isn't in the grand scheme of our first five choices of what we're doing for the day.
Right. Right.
But it does, when you start fine-tuning it, for some reason, white does better one day, you know, and yellow does, who knows what? Is it a little bit of the reflection, the way the sun's coming up, the way the algae's in the water, whatever, it doesn't matter. You know, you need to be versatile to start changing that up, but you have to get to the jig first before you even start thinking about color. You know what
if
I mean?
If you have, let's say we're fishing jigs like we were cast and cover, and, you know, I think I watched us all change jigs a handful of times. I don't think I watched any of us change jig head color once.
No, the only thing we changed jig head color is when we were either changing between quarter or eighth ounce, short or wide gap, shorter shank or longer shank. So, but we are keeping the same color pattern. I wasn't that concerned with it. You know what I mean? Just like, that's why it's like four or five down on our list.
I tell you, a good way that I look at it, I think, is like when you go to the eye doctor and they're checking you out for your new glasses, whatever, and they fine tune it right at the end of like one or two. Well, yeah. And you can't really see a difference, right? When you're like, two, I think is better. That to me is what the color is. It is the very fine tuning at the end, which, it can make a difference, but it's not the, you can still see. You
end know of, what I mean? Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, so, hey, go ahead, Josh. I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say, I think another thing to keep in mind when we fish jigs, I was watching this head-to-head had put on another Bago tournament, but I noticed that some of the guys who did better don't overfish them, right? Like, you can take a jig and move it slowly, just drag it slowly across the bottom, and you don't have to give it a ton of action. You don't have to give it to where it's hopping off the bottom a foot and a half or 2 feet. You can, I think jigs are, I think the biggest mistake people make is they overfish them. And I think
you're probably right on that. There's a lot of overfishing, but I also want to caution people that are listening to this, that there is times that, especially if you're trying to mimic a dead fish, that you're almost making it like, you know, like a moonshine minnow, that you would be doing something like that. There's time and place for it, but I think you're right. 90% of the time, 80% of the time, it's a finesse working that jig, or yeah. just a straight retrieve. I think a lot of guys try to overwork it in the straight retrieve. Mm-hmm. Is a lot of times your best control, because you now what you can do if you're casting, you're casting up and you got a 5 foot water column before you're getting into the weeds. Well, just like Josh said, you can switch it to a Kalins, go an eighth an ounce of Kalins, got a slower sink rate. And now you just had to figure out your speed just to keep it just above and barely get ticked up with weeds, right? Where if you're working it and you're always working it, when you pop it, it drops down, it's going to be in the top of those weeds. Nothing wrong with that, but I'm saying a lot of guys, Mitch is huge on this. He does a ton of straight retrieve, ton of it.
Yes.
It's good.
Well, you know, and hey, I can look as cool as the next guy sitting there with all my fancy, you know, flicking it and, you know, the cadence and everything. But, you know, I keep it real. I haven't caught a lot of fish when I'm getting all fancy with my retrieves. Yeah, a lot of times, I you know, when it comes off a rock or it comes off a weed, you know, sure, there's a trigger there. But, boy, I think I pick up more fish just on a steady retrieve.
Yeah, but it's just I think sometimes simple with jigs can be better. And you know, don't overwork them. A lot of times if you're not getting bit, maybe try to dumb it down a little.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. Well, hey, I think we're gonna wrap it up. That was jigs for you. Thanks a lot for the guys sending in that request. If you have a request or you want to check out our gear we can find, like our hats and shirts and stuff like that, at alleyesonfishing.com. But send your requests or questions that you have to alleyesonfishing@gmail.com. We get a lot of them. We get to them. But we love hearing your guys' success stories, and we also like hearing what you want us to talk about. So
100%.
So 100%. From all of us at All Eyes on Fishing, thanks for joining and keep following us. Appreciate it.
This has been All Eyes on Fishing. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, go ahead and subscribe to The Next Level. And you can hear longer podcasts and more information on all of your favorite topics. And check us out at alleyesonfishing.com for apparel, blogs, and other information. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. All Eyes on Fishing. Leading you to the next level.